You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 10. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for thy word. Thank you for thy saving grace. Thank you that you will help us even now to come to grips with the wonderment of who you are and what you've done. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. Remember now, as we've been sharing, and we did last time, to give a update, to move it forward. And when we came to chapter 10 and verse 24, remember this is 2 months later, Feast of Dedication. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly, openly. And, of course, he has said it openly many times, but they just are not listening. And they want to know, how long are you making us, keeping us in suspense? How long are you making us hold our breath? That wasn't true at all, but that's what they're saying, and that's their approach. Now, so when you come to verse 25... They don't believe him. He is not their shepherd. And, chapter 10, verse 7, he's not the door. He's not the shepherd. He's not the door. And they don't believe him. Verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Verse 26, but ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Now, so he said, you don't. They said, we don't believe. He said, I know you don't believe. You don't believe. You won't receive me. You are not my sheep. You're not my sheep. Now he's going to go and make it clear in the light of the blind man, chapter 9, that has his sight, in the light of the Pharisees and all that are in dispute with him about everything, about who he is. He's now going to say, he isn't going to answer their question, tell us plainly who you are, because he said it many ways and many times. He's going to say something about his sheep. And if you were his sheep, you would know him. I would not have to tell you plainly. You would know that I am your shepherd. Now, so God, you're going to spell that out for us so that we can understand. Thus in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. They are hearing my voice. They are listening. They are hearing and heeding. They're my sheep, personal. They're my personal sheep. And I am knowing them. They're my sheep, and I am knowing them. And the word knowing, remember this verb over in verse 14 again, just for reference, 10 and 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. I know my sheep know me. I am knowing them, they are knowing me. It's a mutual relationship together. Not just one-sided, I see the wall is seeing me, if you would. It's two ways. God said, I am knowing. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I am knowing my sheep. I am knowing my sheep, and they follow me. Remember, we said the little series of ands. Stop and consider each point. And we did hear my voice, hear and heed. I know them, and they follow me. They're following me, so there's no question that they're mine. The sheep will not follow a shepherd that isn't their shepherd. And the shepherd calls his own sheep by name, and they follow him. Now, in verse 28, I give unto them eternal life. I give them, my sheep that are following me, hearing my voice, I give them eternal life. The little adjective eternal, eternal, everlasting, without beginning and without end. I am going to give them life that has no beginning and no end. I'm going to give them a wonderful life, my life. It has no beginning and it has no end. I am the eternal God. I'm going to give them my life, which is eternal. I'm going to give them that. So as long as I last, they last. Now, and thus, and you have it all over the place, and just to do some of it, just to see it, John, I want you to lock it, as we do this little bit, I want you to see how God locks it in. So each of these wonderful points, truths, are locked in something fierce. And that's very important. Very important. It's awesome. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life. Over to chapter 6. Chapter 6. You can go chapter 3, John 3:15, John 3:16. But in chapter 6, just to do it, John chapter 6, picking up, please, in verse 40. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, believeth on him, may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 47. Verily, verily, most assuredly I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Everlasting. Verse 54. Whoso eateth and drinketh, eateth in my flesh and drinketh my blood, hath already eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 68, to the disciples, apostles. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, we know, Lord, answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go that thou hast the words, shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. There's no question, God. What you say, you've said it clearly, repeatedly. You give eternal life. Your words tell us and give us an understanding of eternal life. Therefore, verse 69, we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. There's no question, said Paul. All the evidence is very plain. We just have to receive it. We need to take the seed and get the seed in, not in the package. We need to get the seed in the ground where it can grow. We got the seed. There's no question. It just needs to get into our heart so it can grow, so we can enjoy it. Now, and if you would, while you're here, John 17, you read it. John chapter 17. And in verse 2 and verse 3. As thou hast given him power, authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life, give it to as many as thou hast given him. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So the whole purpose of eternal life is to know God. How can we possibly enjoy God and know God unless we have the same kind of life? Now, a silly illustration. You have human life, you got people do. All have human life. Now, here's a little ant down here, make-believe. The little ant has an ant life. And the ant life, the ant, ants, bumblebees, they wonderfully communicate. They have a whole world of communication, worker ants and busy ants and queen ants and baby ants and everything. All kinds of ants. Now, make believe it's there, imagination. I want you to tell it that you understand it's a little ant and it has ant life. You can't communicate because it's an ant. How are we going to communicate with God unless He gives us His kind of life? God, that we might know Thee, the only true God. Now, back over to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And in verse 28, here's another and. Stop and think. Consider. And I give unto them eternal life, verse 28, and they shall never perish. They shall never perish. Perish. And the word perish has to do intensive, intent, make the word very strong, and then to destroy, to utterly destroy, to bring to ruin, to bring to utter loss, punishment, future punishment, eternal future punishment, loss, permanent loss. They shall never perish, and they aren't going to be destroyed, as it were. Now, having said that little bit, keeping in mind, and again, just to see it, so you say it over and over again. Remember, what are the Jewish people doing, leadership? They keep pestering our Lord to say the same thing over and over. He tells them, they don't want to listen, so now you've got to say it again, and they have a new question, a new way to fashion the question, a new way to express themselves, but it's always the old way. And they just do the same thing over and over and over and over and over. And they lose out. Now, God, you have given us all 21 chapters of the Gospel of John so that we're able to understand what we don't want to do with you. Over and over. Well, how do I know? Who knows? Who cares? How? What? When? All the different things. We just go on and on, and next week we do it again, and we never get anywhere. So God, you've given 21 chapters to make it very clear we don't want to have this problem. So now, in the John chapter 3, John in chapter 3, picking up, please, in thought, in verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting, have eternal life. Okay? Not perish. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Not perish. I got it. Over to chapter 6. And 39. This is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing. There's your little word. Lose nothing. Perish. Be destroyed. I'll lose nothing. Nothing. Nothing means nothing. I'm going to lose nothing. Chapter 18. In John chapter 18, picking up, please, in verse 9. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. I pray for them, not for the world. And in the process, all, well, I'll come back to that. I'm going to come back to that. Now, of all that I have, of all that I have, I lose nothing. I lose zero, zero. I have a lost sheep, John, Luke 15. When I had a lost sheep, if you had a lost sheep, what would you do? You'd go find it, a lost sheep. It's your sheep. The sheep know your voice. The sheep are lost. What are we going to do? We're going to find them. We're going to save them. What are you going to do? Think of Peter, 2 Peter 3. You don't have to turn there. I, in the light of what's happening in unbelief, mocking the coming of our Lord, and all the deterioration of any sense of a healthy, holy, happy understanding of God being absent, I am long-suffering, long before being angry, not that any of you should perish, but you come to repentance. I don't want any of you to be lost. Are you going to hunt for me if I goof and fail and fall? Uh-huh. I'll lose nothing. I will lose no one. Not one. Now hang on. God, you aren't going to do that. No, I'm not. No. And the devil, what's the devil want to do? That you'll turn to that one, why not? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And picking up, what does the devil want? Well, the devil doesn't want you to get saved. He wants you to stay lost. Therefore, now how can I stay lost? Because I have to not believe. John chapter 10, verse 25, 26, they don't believe. They don't believe. That's how you're going to stay lost. Why is anyone lost? Because they don't want to believe. When they don't believe, they're going to stay lost. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. If our good news, gospel, be hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So, if the minute I don't want to believe, then I'm not going to see. I reject light. Here's the light. And the light, I can't turn the light out, but I can shut my eyes so I don't see it. The world that I live in shuts my eyes so they don't see the light. They don't want to see the light. They love darkness rather than light. They don't want to see it. No. So the devil is going to go and keep me lost. He wants me to be lost. If I believe, then I'm going to see. No matter whether I live in Australia, the Sahara Desert, Gobi Desert, wherever you want to go, whoever you want to know, if you want to believe, you're going to get saved. God demands, that's what he died for, to save the whosoevers, wherever they are. Wow. Now, so God and the Lord, you said in Luke that if they don't believe, I'll go there instead of just telling you. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, picking up, please, if I can, in verse 3. Luke 13, 3. I tell you, said the Lord, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Going over to verse 5. I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall likewise perish. You don't want anyone to perish. That's the whole point. You don't want that. You don't want to. You've created us not to be lost, but to be found, to be saved. That's why he created humans in a most wonderful way. Now, so in the light of that, back over to John chapter 10. Driving home, I don't want you to perish. I want you to have eternal life. There is such a thing as perishing, and that means you lose out on everything that you're created for. John chapter 10, picking up, please, in verse 28. They shall, verse 28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. I'm going to take that little word, never, 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 never. It's ume, double negative. Now, we could say a double negative in English, and it makes it positive. But when you say no, no, it means no. Now, when the Greek language does it for emphasis, to strengthen something, to mean no, no, big no. Thus, they shall, that's a double negative, never, no wise, in no way, on no account, can they perish. Isn't that awesome? Everything around us is perishing. But that can never happen. The eternal life that God gives can never be lessened. Lessened, taken away, destroyed. Never happen. You never perish. Never, never. Let me just, a couple of places, you'll see it. It's a wonderful thing. God does it all over the place. John chapter 6 again. John chapter 6, in verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise, there it is, in no wise, never, never, absolutely in no wise, on no account, will I cast, in no wise cast him out. If you come, I will not reject you. I will not do it. I will not, it will not happen on no account. Chapter 11 of John. You know it, it's a wonderful statement. We're going to get there if the Lord tarries. John chapter 11. Now that ought to give you a little hope. Don't say, well, we want to finish, we're going to finish the Gospel of John. 21 chapters, you know. And that's true. I have no idea about the 21 chapters, but the possibility of getting to this 11th chapter in this verse is real. Aren't you encouraged? You may never get to 21, but boy, if we make 11, isn't that something? Now, chapter 11, verse 26, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall, N-E-V-E-R, never in no wise die, never, 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 never die. It can't happen. Do you believe that? That's what he said. See? You have eternal life. You cannot perish. Never. Never. Do you believe that you'll never die? And you have to put that together with what? You have everlasting life and that you cannot perish. Now, and one, hold your finger right here in John and go with me to that Hebrews, which is one you know, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And may I go, to give, remember we're looking at the little negatives. We want to get power, the power. God uses language. Greek, the Hebrew, the Aramaic, with super duperness, language, how to say things, emphasize things, and his words. John, Hebrews chapter 13, as you know, in verse 5. Let your conversation, your manner of life, be without covetousness, don't having to keep wanting and wishing. Be content with such things as you have. Now why? For he has said... Now, what's the reason? For he has said, I will never leave thee, there's two negatives, nor forsake thee, there's three negatives. That's a total of five negatives. Five. I will never leave thee, never, never, never. I will not forsake thee, abandon thee, never, 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 never. That's something, isn't it? I mean, that's to God's hand. Wow. Now, back over to John chapter 10. We just read, they shall never perish. That which shall never, never, never perish. In the direction of eternity, the everlasting life, it shall never happen. The perishing shall never happen. It can't. To bring to ruin, to bring to destruction, to bring to punishment, future and eternal loss. It'll never happen. Never, never happen. Now, verse 28, the fifth thing. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, you need to understand, the Lord, this is the fifth thing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Stop and think about each thing. You'll never perish. You have eternal life. And here you are, located. God, you have them. They're your sheep. They know the shepherd. They're in my hand. And I want you to know, because they could say, well, maybe someone else, I'll live forever somewhere else. If you're unsaved, that's true. There's no way to die as a human. You're going to live one way or the other, in heaven or the lake of fire. One way or the other. There's no middle ground. You are not going to be annihilated. You're not going to terminate. You're not going to disappear. Cows, sheep, grass, tomatoes, all disappear. But not people. Now, so here, John chapter, that's why you don't want to say, well, I won't say that. Now, John chapter 10, they neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So, God, here's your hand, my hand, and no one's going to pluck them. And that has to do with seizing, to seize to anyone, to snatch away, to take away with haste and violence, to take them away. No man, neither shall any man pluck them, seize them, grab them, take them away captive, to catch them. Look with me in chapter 10 and verse 12 to see the little word. Chapter 10 and verse 12. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, N-O-T, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth, that's the word to seize, to catch, to seize, to grab, with haste and violence. The wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. There's the little word catch, to pluck. No man is able to snatch them, catch them, strip them away, take them away at all. And we'll do it. Over to the Gospel of Matthew. And chapter 13. The Gospel of Matthew in chapter 13. May I go directly? This is in the explanation of the sower, the parable. Chapter 13, verse 19 of Matthew. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, I don't understand. Then, what happens then? Then cometh the wicked one and catches away. There's your little word, to seize, to pluck, to lay hold of with haste and violence, to take it away. That which was sown in his heart, this is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. In other words, the devil is going to be quick. The system, the world system that is his, the demonic system that is his, all of that system is going to go and be an encouragement by people to take from you that which you're thinking about, and catches away the wonderful truth, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Boom! It's gone. After mumbling this little bit this morning, before you get out the door, it's all gone. All gone. Your old nature doesn't want it. The world system doesn't want it. And the demonic system doesn't want it. So if you don't want to hang on to it, it's going. And 50 years from now, why didn't he ever say that to me then? Well, we said it 100 years ago. In fact, when we started a couple of years ago, I'm doing the same thing I did then. I just do it a little more better. Maybe. I wouldn't trust that at all. But now, John chapter 10. And by the way, you don't have to turn there to catch the seas. Now, that's the devil, and people can come and seize. But God, in 1 Thessalonians 4 and in verse 17, God, what are you going to do? In the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, I'm going to catch you up. That's the word. When I come and call, how long are you going to stay? The time it takes to split an atom. I'm going to catch you up. There's the little verb. Now, God, here I am in your hand. Here's the Spirit of God sealing me in your hand. And God, when you come, am I going to go up? Just like that. Now, that's the verb. Now, back to the negative, because we no one's going to pluck them. Chapter 10, verse 28. No man is able to pluck them out of my hand. No one can do that. No one is able to take them away out of my hand. No one. For the protection, for preservation, safe, secure, sure. Safe, am I? God. No one's going to... I can't. I got eternal life. I cannot perish. God, I cannot perish. And no one can take me. No one. Wow. Wow, now having said and keeping that in mind, remember now, no one, verse 28, no one shall have you, and then we're going to go to verse 29 in a minute, no one can have you. Put them together. No one else can have you. You are bought with a price. With my precious blood. There's no one anywhere that can have you except me. No one shall have you. No one can have you. Period. Now that's rather awesome. It is. Wow. Wow. Now, and thus, and being bought with, you are mine, said the Lord, and I am yours. You're going to say, my shepherd. And I'm going to say, my sheep. How's that? Personal. My Savior, my Son. Wow. Now, you, I don't know. You can't do better. God, tell me plainly, they said. My sheep know plainly. My sheep know. That, what are they supposed to know? And we're reading what they're supposed to know. These things have I written unto you, John 5:13, that you may what? Know. Not hope, not feel, not guess. Know. What kind of thing is it if you don't know? If you don't know who you are, how are you going to do anything? You don't know what kind of name to sign on the sheet. You don't know who you are. You don't know where you live. You don't know. You do know. Now you need to know spiritually, God, those things so wonderfully. Now, having said that, verse 29. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And that's a comparative, that's a superlative. He is the greatest one, my Father. That's what the devil wanted to go to, the Most High God. He wanted to get way up there. No, you don't want to be down, God. I want to get as high as I can get in the light of your magnificence. And of course, that is impossible. But my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. Now, greater than all. That's right, greater. This is the greatest. He gave them to me. Now, I want to lock in that little word. He gave them. That's right. He gave them. Now, how do I know he gave them? And not to me. God gave the believing heart God gave the all humans, He died for them, the sin of the world. God gave them to Him. And everyone that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior is going to discover that God had given your life or their life, each life, to God, to Christ before the foundation of the world. And that that believer is to understand that God had given it. Now, I want to lock that in a little bit to my little heart. Over, if you would, please, to John chapter 3. We'll do it a little better. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, picking up, please, in verse, going directly in the light of the context, verse 35. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given, that's a little word we're going to look at, given, A-L-L, things into His hand. Everything has been given into His hand. Lord, did you understand that everything has been given into your hand? I sure did. Over to chapter 13. John chapter 13. And if I may, verse 3. In the upper room, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come, from God and went to God. Jesus, did you know that? I did. I knew everything was in my hand. So are you going to be able to say that we shall not perish, but have everlasting life, and that no one's able to pluck them out of your hand because God gave them to you before the foundation of the world? Now, over, if you would, please. Oh, to all kinds of ways. John 17. Let's do that one. You read it? John chapter 17. Now, I'm going to read and let it stand out. Just let it, boom, like hitting a nail. Boom, boom, boom. It gets locked in. John 17, verse 6. I have manifested, made clear, public, plain thy name unto the men, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Verse 7. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. So, you've got to keep saying, oh, I am. Verse 8. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou hast sent me. Verse 20, slide to verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. Verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Now, where did you and I fit in this giving business? You don't. God the Father is giving to God the Son what He does. And you and I are just here being handed out. We're purchased. Wow. That's all. Here we are, God. You bought us with a price. That's right. Now, having said that little bit, and remember, of all that have given me, all that the Father has given me, I will lose none. I will not lose any. None shall be lost. None shall be misplaced whatsoever. Chapter 5 and verse 22. As the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. God, you have committed all judgment unto the Son, He has the judgment, he does. And, verse 27, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. You have given him all of that wonderful, wonderful authority to be the judge. How is God going to judge the world? Acts 17, by the man, which man? The man that rose again from the grave. That man will judge the world. That man will judge angels. That man, 1 Corinthians 15, is going to take everything he died to make possible the just and righteous condemnation of God, to be able to condemn all of that which is wrong and save all of that which will be redeemed by his saving grace. You made that possible, that's right, when he died on the cross. So now, having said that, God, so the given, we're not given. It's not given to us to give anything. It's given to Christ. And Christ has given it. He possesses it. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me, I will and absolutely will not cast out. So now, God, here we are, and it's all for your glory and honor. I am to be yours, and you are to be mine. And all of it is done, God. It's your hand, and everything is given to you, and you take all of it. Everyone that comes to me shall come. I will not cast them out. And everyone that comes to me, I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one's going to take them, snatch them. There's no way they're going to fall out. What happens if I fall out? There's no falling out. There's no way to, I lose nothing. Now, having said that little bit, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I, in chapter 10, John chapter 10, no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I, verse 30, I and my Father, are one. We're one. Remember the great Shema in Deuteronomy 6:4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, plural, is one Lord. And then you take all the wonderful truths that make that clear. God, in your wonderful person, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. You are uniquely in eternal essence, nature, being one. And yet you express yourself, as it were, in three persons. Wonderfully distinct, wonderfully different, but all one. And yet all the same, exactly the same. God, you made us persons. Your person is unique. And we would never know about you. We'd think you're a totem pole. We'd think you're a human sitting up there with some special power. We wouldn't know who you are unless you told us. And you explained it. Baptized in the name, John 8:28-19. Baptizing them in the name singular of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's my name. That's who I am. Wow. And over and over and over and over again, in all kinds of ways. So God, you're going to express yourself, show yourself for us to understand and to learn. Now, God, in the light of your wonderful essence, nature, being, in the light of the fact you are one. So God, how could we ever get in your hand? Well, God, you don't have any hands. You don't have a head. You don't have a face like we do. You don't have a limitation of body because you are endless and everything is in the middle of you. Now, God, how can you have a hand? How can you do all this for us? You made us to have hands, and you made us to be able to have eternal life. You made us so we could never perish. Now, God, here we are looking to you, and we're going to go, and God, you are able to go in your wonderful, wonderful way. to give us this wonderful relationship to you. Now, how are you going to get your hand? I'm going to be born. You have to turn there. John 1, 1, 2, 3. And the Word became flesh. What Word? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, is God. God, you put on a human body. That's correct. That's what the Gospel of John's all about, to make it so you have no questions. No question about it. So God, you put on a human body, like us, so we could get to you and you could get to us properly by way of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, our Lord. Now, in the light of that getting together with you, God, you bring us together. Now, what are you going to do? Here's your hands, physical hands. And God, they're your hands. This is just like in Acts 20. And God shed his blood. Now, God didn't have any blood. But when Christ put on a human body, he had blood. And he shed his blood. God says it. That's my blood. It's my hand. My hand. Do you understand? Well, how can it be? What are we going to do? He went to the cross to pay the price and penalty for your sin. And you know he went to the cross because I told you over and over again. Psalm 22 all the way through. I told you he's going to be crucified, hanging the cross, and his feet and hands are going to be pierced. Therefore, when he goes to Jerusalem, are you going to hang him, electrocute him, shoot him, as it were? No. He's going to be crucified, and his hands are pierced. And like in Isaiah 49, to Israel, whenever Israel over there, you dear people, Israel, you're in terrible straits, but do not despair. You could believe if you want to, but otherwise you'll have to wait. And God said, Isaiah 49, when you see my hand, there's a hole in it. How did you, not yet, not in Isaiah 49, but they're told to remember. When you come, John, Revelation 1:7, when you step out of heaven, and all the world is going to see you in some marvelous way, only God, you can do it. You can do it. So when they see you, how are they going to know? See my hands. Nail-pierced hands. I'm the one. I'm the one who told you these things. You have eternal life. You shall never perish. No man shall snatch you out of my hand. I and my Father's hand are one. You see the hands that are pierced? They go to my Father. My Father and I are one. Do you understand that? Wow. No man shall pluck you out of my hand. Wow. I want to stop with that. Nail-pierced hand. Wow. Our Father in God, thank you for your word, your work, your saving grace. God, we're so slow and dumb about everything. It's an awesome thing you've done. It's so awesome, it's hard for us to even receive it, to believe it. But it's awesomely true. And God, you couldn't say it clearer. Tell us plainly, God, you certainly answered it. My sheep are my sheep, and we are able to say, my shepherd. They're mine. God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Safe am I in the hollow of thy hands. God, thank you. Thank you very much. We belong to you by your saving grace, by your precious blood. we're bought with a price. God, for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, deal with their heads and their hearts, and we'll thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. Perhaps we could sing, please, a stanza. If you would, in your hymnal of 366. 366. First and third stanza.